Let's open a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to join together with these men. Thank you for a group of guys that is seeking to know you better and seek your face more. Guide our conversation this morning, that the words that I say and the meditation that we discuss is glorifying to you and edifying to our body and souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joel, this might seem a little loud to me. I don't know. So I don't know what your 2020 was, but I'm going to share with you a bit of mine, because it has been a spiritual journey that I tell people has been amazing. And I never want to repeat it, because it has been brutal. And isn't that often how our spiritual journeys go? They're amazingly brutal, but we come out of it either pulling away from God or looking towards him, which is our choice at that point. So I just want to share this with you. So the conversation we're going to have is, that's not the way any of this works. That's the phrase that has stuck with me for the entire year. And you guys might remember, it's an Esurance commercial. And and I'm going to play it for you. I think they have it ready.
Vacation photos, I'm saving a ton of time by posting them to my wall.
Ooh, I like that one.
It's so quick. It's just like my car insurance. I save 15% in just 15 minutes.
I saved more than that in half the time.
I unfriend you.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
15 minutes for a quote isn't how it works anymore. With Esurance, 7.5 minutes could save you on car insurance.
Thanks, guys. That's not how any of this works. I must have sat on my desk 100 times this summer, this last year, and went, that's not how any of this is supposed to work. That's just not how it's supposed to work. You end up canceling a retreat on Friday before because of new government rules that don't allow certain sets of groups in a room together. The groups start canceling for July. Johnny and Friends cancels. We have a tremendous ministry with Johnny and Friends every summer, and the reality of it is we didn't host a single one of them this past summer. That's not how any of this is supposed to work. Last April, I sat in a group of employees, and we laid off 85 to 90% of the staff in one day. That's not how any of this is supposed to work. We sat training employees how to use unemployment compensation because it was the only and last resort we had for their families. That's not how any of this is supposed to work. We looked and studied government programs day in and day out. We worked with attorneys and accountants to figure out how Spruce Lake can use a government program and whether we legally can use it and whether it will have any repercussions in the future if we do use it. That's not how any of this is supposed to work. And you spent this time doing this, and the whole time you're fighting your inner being, going, this is wrong. This doesn't. And then we go through a political season where if you didn't sit on your couch and go, that's not how this is supposed to work, I'd be amazed. It just was, I don't care what side you're on, it was a mess. That's not how any of this is supposed to work. And there are people out there flourishing, and I am thrilled for them. A lot of people have said, don't you feel a little bit envious that they're doing well? No. The reality of it is that we're all in a different spot, but we're all where God has us and where God wants us. But as spending that time, you can hear the things that we were processing here at Spruce Lake. You heard Randy last night that revenue generally was about 13% of normal. That's not sustainable, period, without friends and without God. And the reality of it is that's the experience we had over this year, but there are days, maybe weeks, maybe even a month or two, where I didn't do that well. Because it is really hard to be a driven type A personality person and sit on your hands, because there's nothing you can do. About July, I picked up a little card. And it's funny, this card has sat on my desk for a long time. I hadn't read it in a long time. But it was about July, and I picked this up. And I had not written a letter to donors asking for dollar support yet, because I was resistant. I was maybe too proud to admit that it was going to be that bad, that we were going to have to operationally ask for help, people to help us pay the electric bill. But it was headed there really quick. And this card laid there. I know it. I don't know what year it was put there, but this, I've got a raised monitor stand, and it kind of slides halfway under the monitor stand. But this is what the card says. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. To change the things I can change, I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Music. Neat. And that's where most of us stop reading that prayer. We're familiar with it. Serenity prayer. But there's a lot more to that prayer that you have to kind of take in. Living one day at a time. Enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Not a U.S. cultural thought process. Taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would want it, not as I would have it. Another, not a U.S. cultural thought process. Trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him in the next. Amen. Sitting on my desk for years, in the middle of July, I picked that up and I read it. And I recalled a devotional that I had done, many years ago, in a Celebrate Recovery process that walks through this over months. It's a study every day on the Serenity Prayer and different scriptures that go along with that. And that's what I spent the next 4 or 5 months in. Every day, trying to say, okay, Lord, let me see what I can do and what I can't do. Let me see what I have to let you do. Let me see this trial as a pathway to peace. Let me see if I can walk this journey as you would have me. I mean, the whole process of that prayer started working on me. And there's a couple of things that come out of me. Why would I or should I be at peace going through what I'm going through? The reality of it is God wants us to be a witness to him no matter what stage or what process we're in. And if we're in a panic when there's trouble around us, what testimony is that to him? How can we point people towards Christ, which is what we're about, if all we talk about is the troubles and woes and the process and scrapping for the next day and the process that the world was in over this past year? So in reality, this serenity prayer became, can I live the core purpose of Spruce Lake no matter what the circumstances are that are going on? Can we walk the journey of pointing people towards Christ in this situation too? Early on, our board got together and our leadership team got together, and we made a statement, and I put it in the reflections article last spring. And basically, I'll summarize it, but it basically said, hey guys, pray with us, journey with us. We promise we're going to walk into this with our core values and our core purpose in the forefront. We will point people towards Christ no matter what comes over the next year. And so when we focused on that, now the focus has to be, well, how do you do that when 80% of your staff gets laid off? How does that staff do that? Which, by the way, they did it really well. I couldn't be prouder of the staff of Spruce Lake over the choices they made this year and how they supported the ministry and their families. And jointly, we walked through this past year. I could spend an hour just talking about that. I won't. But the reality of it is that was the choice. The definition of serenity: calmness and peace in amongst trouble. Can we walk this journey? Some of us didn't have that journey this past year, and bear with us. Some of you have been busier than ever because it created a flurry on all different types of this. But here's my challenge to you guys. I was in that flurry for many years, and I didn't always walk that with calmness or peace either. And the stress of that looks a whole lot like the stress of troubled times as well if you're not doing it well. You are not testifying to Christ or to the purpose or pointing people towards Christ if you're crazy busy and still in a tizzy. Ha, rhymes. Anyway, shouldn't have done that, should I, Dave? It's all right. You'll remember it. So I don't care if you're facing trouble this year or if you're gangbusters and making more money than ever and everything's rosy. Serenity in that process is critical. Because we are to, no matter the circumstances, say that he is Lord, and he's the reason that we're like this, and we can be calm in this, and we can treat people well in this, and we can care for others in this, and we can do what we're called to do as believers in this, no matter whether it's prosperous or troubled. But it's really difficult. So this prayer became really important to me. And I want to talk about three things that basically called to question. First thing is there's a conflict in this prayer in my heart. I'm a Pennsylvania Dutch farm boy's son who basically told me to get up and put my boots on and get it done. That's what I was told my whole life. You need to get this done. And if you don't get it done, you might be a little weak, but that was never said. You know, but it's assumed. You know, if you can't get it done, it's your problem. So there's when you sit down and you pray, let me know what I can do and I can't do, Lord. There's a struggle in me between acceptance and laziness. And as believers and as Christian men, I think it's a struggle we struggle with. There are things that as men we can't fix. And we feel that accepting that or tolerating that or functioning in that is a fault for us or is lazy. We should, if we worked harder at it, we could fix this. If we spent more time or energy on it, it'll change. Well, guys, there are things this past year that weren't going to change. And here's the reality of it is, there are things that aren't going to change. Later in that prayer, it says, let me live in this world as Christ did, not as I want this world to be. This world's broken. It's going to be broken. It's going to be broken till end times when God fixes it. So how do we live in that broken world? At peace with God and at peace with the world that's around us as best we can is the challenge, whether you're flourishing or struggling. So this struggle of, I'm just a lazy bum, that's why I can't fix this, is real. And as a man, we will struggle with that. And I challenge you to wrestle yourself, whether it's in your relationship at home, because some of us think if we work harder on our wife, we'll fix her. Thank you. Not. That's the phrase. Sometimes we just need to, and last night the answer of how do we deal with our children with grace was beautiful. The reality of it is, sometimes we just need to live with grace with the world that is. And that beauty of living with that grace that Christ gives us isn't lazy. Unless you're using it as an excuse, which is the struggle. You see how hard this is to determine, am I being lazy on this one and just walking away and give it up? Or am I accepting what is real? And that's the wisdom to understand the difference. This prayer will stick with you guys if you hold on to it. But the reality of it is you wrestle with this. Am I being lazy or am I accepting what is? And that brings me to the point of the wrestle of lazy or so forth is we want to be active as men. So the second thing that I wrestle with on this is that this acceptance, this serenity that I'm looking for, this peace that I want to live in. The question is, Here's the statement. I'll say it this way. Surrendering is an active and bold move. And it took me a half a year to get to the point that I recognized it wasn't a cop-out. Surrendering is not waving a white flag. Surrendering is boldly trusting your faith to say, God's got that. I can't take that. God's got that. It's not waving a white flag, giving up, and going to prison. It literally is an active participation in a daily negotiation of whether I can change this or I have to accept this. It's actually the boldest move you can make, which is counter-cultural, which is counter-man. Because we want to change things. And the only time we feel good about it is when we change it, or when we fix it, or when we do what we think is right with it. When actually, it takes more strength to sit down and let God deal with it. Because it's against our being. And whether it's going good, and you're stressed about some of your contractors, I've been trying to get building permits for years up here. Do you know, in the midst and the flurry of going forward, and you're waiting for DEP, the conservation district, the township, and the county to all get on the same page, can you act Christ-like in that process? Or can you act like everybody else and yell and scream and bring your attorneys in and get it done? Well, the first time when we did a building permit, I was more like my old self, and that's how we did it. We fought them all the way through. The gym building out here, I found myself in the first meeting of that, trying to get that permit process through at total peace. And I was with an engineer who went, "You seem absolutely calm about this." I said, "Yeah, it'll be what it is, and God's got it." And he's like, "I don't understand that statement. They're going to fight you on this." I said, "No, they're not." I said, "It'll take a little bit of time, but it'll come through." It was the most simple construction permitting process I've ever been in. Because I had a centered peace about it. And we were in a flurried rush. We wanted that building up. It was a totally different time than today. But as I studied myself this past year, I looked at two building permit processes and how God has changed me in those processes over the years. And how much better it went. It was the same exact process. It still took 5.5 months to get it. But I can have 5.5 months of complete pain, or I can have 5.5 months of accepting what I can't change and walking through a process that's going to happen in its way. It's going to happen. You're not going to change the community's process. You can fight it, or you can kind of enjoy the process. I sat in a meeting where there was four supervisors up the board, and I stayed the extra 2 hours of the supervisors meeting to watch it happen. And at the end, they looked at me and said, "Why are you still here? We did you first so you could go home." How many of you have been in those meetings? You finish your deal, you wave, and you're out the door, and the next set of attorneys and clients come in. And I sat through it all. And they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I just wanted to understand your guys' role." And I also said to them, I said, "I've added to my list a new job that I will never do. County supervisor." It's a thankless job. I actually Googled what they were paid while I was sitting there. You couldn't get me to do that job for what they pay those guys. It'd have to be like 5 times what they get paid. But the reality of it is I sat there and watched that happen. I have a relationship with 3 of 4 at this point. Why? Why fight it? I can't change it. I might as well understand it and pour Christ into the process. That's when times were good. When I realized in the midst of this, I wasn't doing that in July because I was scrambling. Those employees that we laid off are my friends. Those families rely on us. Puts a whole different twist on whether you can have peace in turmoil when you're actually in it. The reality of it is surrendering is an active and bold move. And it's hard to see it that way. But surrendering to Christ, surrendering to his will never cost you. It will only benefit you. So the last one that is just absolutely ridiculous in our culture is this one: accepting hardship as a pathway to peace. Taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Do you realize that most of the conflicts in my life, don't hold this against me, because I will continue to have conflicts in life. I'm not healed from this problem. I'm just trying to work at it, and I'm sharing my journey with you. Most of the conflicts in my life are because the world is not how I believe it should be. I'm renovating a little cabin up at the lake right now where Jackie and I are moving. We've sold our home because financially it's a stress. The reality, we want to get rid of some of those stresses. This year has turned a lot of those tables for a lot of people. About a week ago, the kitchen counter company called and said, "We're not going to have it for you." That's a problem for my wife and I, because we have a move date set. We have a house settlement set, and a kitchen counter will make life a lot nicer for the two of us, especially for me, because it was my responsibility to get it there, and she's really going to miss it if it's not there, and you can see what's brewing here. And I wasn't happy. I had paid completely for that countertop January 28th. You know why I know the date? Because I went back and reminded them when I paid for it. I was not processing that part of the world not being what I wanted it to be. Well, stupid little thing. But can I lose my witness in that? Can I get in a stressed position over that? The reality of it is I can, and I did. Most of our concerns is that we do not look at the world and go, it's broken. It's not going to be what we want it to be. How do we live in it at peace with our relationship in Christ and others, even though it's not? What a journey. What an absolute task to work on all the time. Because when I realize I'm stressed, when I realize I'm pressing for something, it's because the world isn't as I want it to be. And who am I? A steward of some things God left me to do. That's it. And if he's got control of it, why am I losing my life over it for that moment in time? Some of you have seen me. I've talked to some of you when I'm processing this. It's been a long journey. Hardship develops us into something that Christ wants us to be if we use it or allow it to work on us. I used to laugh at the Israelites going through the desert. I used to laugh at some of these things. But the whole story comes down to hardships will develop you. If you look at Scripture, it will develop you to who you are. David with all of his problems, Joseph, Jacob. We were shown this time and time again. And yet we rail against it. When something comes in our life hard, what do? We run. Run away from it. Get away from it as fast as possible. My phrase recently, not just this year, but in the last 3 years, has been to folks who have said, I'm in so much trouble. Sit there in it. Stay in it until you learn what God has for you. What? Not get out? No, we as a culture medicate pain as soon as we feel it. Well, pain is good. It's telling you to change something. Don't medicate it. Fix it. Pain is good in our lives. It teaches us to look towards Christ for who he is and who he can be to us. If we run away from it, what did we not learn? What learning process did we skip when we ran? Accepting hardship as a pathway to peace is a countercultural statement, and it's difficult. I am not there. My first reaction is, I got to change that. So the question comes down to is change the things I can, accept the things I can't, see it as Christ would see it, walk towards it as a way, as a part of growth, and surrender to his will. I referenced the writings last spring that we put out in a public statement, and it ended with this statement. Trust with me that the ministries of Spruce Lake will continue their mission. With improved vision and the ability to love others, we will seek God's kingdom first, and he will have to do the rest. Last spring, I wrote that in the article last April in the Reflections. This will go out here in April. It'll actually go May 1st. It might be emailed today, actually. We stand here 12 months later having received a gift, the gift of watching God work firsthand as he sustained the ministries of Spruce Lake and Pine Brook. He used very different tools this past year, and I'm not saying that we watched his work happily or that we handled these days well, but we learned to see him in the difficult days. We saw his power and his ability to protect his ministry. What a gift. I would have never seen God use the U.S. government as the ability to sustain a ministry if I wouldn't have gone past this last year. I sat in a room with 10 camp directors, and in that room, there was $7.3 million that had been given through the PPP program to Christian camps. If you don't believe that God can control the U.S. government to do his will, you should have watched what I watched this past year. Because honestly, without their intervention, we still might not be here. That's really hard for me to say. That was a tool God used. Who else did it? When's the last time the U.S. government put money in a church or Christian coffer? You know how it's recorded in generally accepted GAAP principles, accounting principles? As a donation, once the credit is received, once you receive the forgiveness, it goes into the donation bucket. Are you kidding me? I laughed hysterically. I went, that's funny. But if you don't believe God's in control, in the midst of 2020 chaos, laws were written, and in the January change, strengthened to benefit Christian entities if they're willing to use them. I didn't like it. I still don't like it. But I have to see God in it. I do see God in it. In the end, nothing worked the way it was supposed to. Literally nothing. But God, he worked the way he was supposed to. The scripture I leave you with this morning is Matthew 6:33-34. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for itself. We set out last March, to seek his face and do his will at these properties. And we watched him sustain us, I believe, because the camp honored every one of its commitments to his purpose and principles that we could in the best way we could. We made mistakes. But we tried really hard to follow hard after him, his will, and his direction here. I hope your year went better than mine, but I hope you saw God work like we did. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for the time to share. Lord, that you would take your message that you've shared with me this past year and allow these men to take it home. Look in their lives where they need to see it. Look in their lives and know that you're speaking to them on that, whatever that is. Give them peace in their journey. And not peace so they can be happy, but peace so they can share who you are in their lives to the people that see them walking this journey. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this event. Thank you for these men choosing to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.